air horn tells us it's time for the Bob Almanac.
Or we just scored a goal.
Could have been, but there's no, what do the Wild play? They play Let's Go Crazy.
Yeah,
by Prince.
Well, yeah, I think they're changing again.
Are they changing again for this year?
Yeah.
Well, let's just hear, I don't care what song they play, just as they play it a lot.
Yes.
At home at the XL Energy Center.
Yeah.
They made some improvements. I'm excited to see Matt Hendricks come back home and JT Brown.
Yep.
And no huge splashes, no John Tavares type signings, but.
Not yet.
No.
Yeah. Probably won't be.
No, it sounds like Paul Fenton said they're done.
Yeah, they're tweaking.
Their new GM.
They're tweaked.
Monday, July 2nd, 183rd day of the year, 182 left to go. This was the date 1776 that Richard Henry Lee, who had written the resolution that said that the American colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Ooh. It was adopted by the Continental Congress, and of course that paved the way for the Declaration of Independence. 2 days later, that was the state, 1776. 1843, I've seen the newspaper article, the Almanac crew, the Almanac staff, we have this newspaper article archived. It's this date, 1843, an alligator falls from the sky during a thunderstorm in Charleston, South Carolina.
What?
Yeah, you've heard of Sharknado. This is Gatornado.
Gatornado.
Should be a new movie starring Ian, what's-his-face.
Right.
And the other gal
right.
from the American Pie movies, wherever that is that's in those films. Thunderstorm. I guess that can happen. You can.
It's raining gators
and dogs.
It wasn't
a big one. He's only a two-footer.
Oh.
He's a two-foot alligator, so I guess you get sucked up in a water spout, and then you're up in the air for a little bit if the storm is powerful enough.
Sure.
And then it dropped the alligator.
Dispatched.
I guess it was right on a city street,
probably
according
dogs.
To that newspaper account. Oh, by the way, the Almanac is brought to you by Lefebvre Companies. Lefebvre Companies now hiring company drivers,
owner-operators,
and carriers. Contact them. You get everything that you need to know. All the information is online on their website, leftruck.com, leftruck.com. Back to this date in history, 1881, Charles J. Guiteau fatally wounded U.S. President James A. Garfield in Washington, D.C. James A. Garfield, when you start listing off the presidents that were assassinated, Garfield, people usually forget about Garfield because this is what happened. He was not mortally wounded, but he wasn't, there was no kill shot this first day. Not to the head or to the heart or anything like that.
It took a while.
It took 79 days for him to pass away. If we would have had modern medicine, or if they would have let, Lister, the doctor, came up with Listerine. If they would have let him work on him, he wouldn't have,
he would have survived.
He probably would have survived because it was an infection, sepsis. Had set in on James A. Garfield, and he was elected that year. He only served a few months as president.
So is he the second one to be assassinated, right? Lincoln and then him?
Yeah, 1881. Yep. 1933, New York Giants pitcher Carl Hubbard. Works. Yes, Hubble. I was thinking Channel 5, 45.
Right.
And those Hubbards that brought broadcasting to the Twin Cities.
Right, I understand.
Pretty historic.
Right, there they are.
But this Carl Hubble works 18 innings in one game, shutout ball, without a walk, to beat the St. Louis
innings.
Cardinals 1-0, 1933. 18 innings of pitching.
That's
and
ridiculous.
Guess what? That 18-inning game lasted less than what a 9-inning game lasts now, time-wise. And you can blame that on TV.
He was the guy then in the All-Star game that year that
struck out
murderers broke.
Yeah.
I mean, all them great
struck
players.
All those great players. Is he also one who threw the ball and they tried to beat it with a horse or with a guy on a motorcycle? Or was that Walter Johnson?
It was Walter Johnson, I believe, yes.
1937, this date in history.
Then to a waiting world came news of disaster as the plane failed to reach tiny Howland Island in mid-Pacific. A British freighter, the Coast Guard, and the Navy sped to the search. The battleship Colorado steaming out from Honolulu under forced draft.
Amelia Earhart disappeared along with Fred Noonan, her navigator. So blame it on Noonan. Blame it on Noonan. He was the navigator. He's the one who set the course.
They got off course.
They got off course, disappeared over the Pacific Ocean while trying to make the first around-the-world flight in 37. And, of course, for many, many, many years, we just assumed they had died on impact. They had crashed. And then within the last few years, pictures have surfaced.
Right.
Showing Amelia Earhart on a deck, on a dock, somewhere in Southeast Asia. And then there's a ship that appears to be towing an airplane that matches the kind of airplane that they flew in.
Yeah.
How about that?
Pretty, you know, it's obviously it's not 100%, but it's somewhat convincing.
Yep. That was in 37. How about 47? Was this convincing?
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
This is the date that that object crashed in Roswell, New Mexico. The U.S. Army Air Force, that's what it was known as back then, the Army Air Force, insisted it was a weather balloon. But eyewitness accounts led to speculation that it was an alien aircraft and spacecraft, and there were actual aliens there, and they did autopsy on him. You've seen the alien autopsy and all this other stuff. And the Roswell newspaper actually reported, the first report was flying saucer. And then the Army Air Force release said it was a weather balloon. And then the guy who showed off the weather balloon in that famous picture, on his deathbed, he says, no, it wasn't a weather balloon. It was total fabrication. And yes, there was some kind of a saucer that had crashed in the New Mexico desert.
I struggle with it.
You struggle? You don't think there's alien life out there?
Nah, no. Not on Earth. I don't think any of them have made it to Earth.
No. Being able to travel that far. The chances that there's a planet somewhere in the cosmos, as large as the universe is, that there's got to be a planet somewhere that also has the same makeup as the Earth and that could support life. But whether or not they can travel here or not, have that technology.
Right.
You have to have warp drive, Neil. I think you found that out on Star Trek. You have to have warp drive. You have to be able to travel faster than light. So that was in 47 and 55. Hello, Lawrence Welk.
And here is your host, Lawrence Welk.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, my good friends, and a pleasant hello.
That was Lawrence Welk making his network TV debut. He had done local shows, but he went nationwide on this date on ABC, the Lawrence Welk Show.
Second most famous guy to come out of Strasburg, North Dakota.
1955. Now, in 61, author Ernest Hemingway died on this date. He committed suicide. He was a troubled man, but also pretty good author.
Yes, he was.
The Sun Also Rises, among my favorites. He was 61 today. And that was in 61. 1962, Walmart opened its first store. Ooh. The first Walmart store, Sam Walton, 1962. It's called Walmart Discount City. I think he had owned smaller stores prior to this, but he'd opened Discount City in Rogers, Arkansas, this date, 1962. The rest is history. Yep. Did they have older people greeting them at the door? Did they have Walmart greeters at that time?
I sure hope so.
And did you find a loaf of bread in the tire department?
Well,
at Walmart Discount City.
That for sure happened.
64.
5 hours after the House passes the measure, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is signed at the White House by President Johnson. Before an audience of legislators and civil rights leaders who had labored long and hard for passage of the bill,
Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 on this date. 1964. Let's move on to 1982.
Larry Walters had always dreamed of flying a balloon to a faraway place. So with help from a friend who taped these scenes, he rigged 42 weather balloons to a lawn chair and filled them with helium. Walters hoped to fly across the mountains to the Mojave Desert, staying in touch with a CB radio. Suddenly a cable broke and up he went with one emotion.
Fulfillment. He is in his lawn chair and he took a flight using balloons. Speaking of weather balloons, maybe it was one of the ones from Roswell.
It could have been.
45 helium-filled weather balloons. He stayed in flight for about an hour. He's like that guy from Up, where he did that to his house.
Right.
That was in 82. Larry Walters. They also called him Lawn Chair Larry.
That's a good name.
Lawn Chair Larry. And Jim Eisenreich, St. Cloud native, former Twin, made his comeback on this date. He had to leave baseball because of his Tourette syndrome in 1984, and he returned on this date against the Twins. and went 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs at Gum Kansas City, who was managed by Billy Gardner. It made sense.
Yeah, it did.
Because Slick was the manager of the Twins in 84, and then he was managing the Royals in 87. Of course, the Twins would edge the Royals in the American League Western Division standings that year on their way to the World Series championship in 87.
He was a pretty good hitter.
He was a great hitter. He just had to get his condition under control. And once he did, he was a good hitter. Won a World Series with Philadelphia.
Strong again.
Played with the Marlins. 10-3, by the way, they beat the Twins that date. I don't know who's on the mound. Was it Mike Smithson?
The tall man.
The tall man.
Smitty.
John Butcher. That was in 87. Then 10 years later.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
We are remembering Jimmy Stewart on this date. Fine, fine actor.
One of the greats ever.
He died in Beverly Hills. He was 89 here this date. Birthdays, Monday, July 2nd, birthdays. Philippine First Lady Imelda Marcos is still with us. I understand she's the one with all the shoes. I understand she's downsized her shoe collection.
Oh, she has. Well,
but
that's good.
She single-handedly kept Dr. Scholl's in business in the Philippines.
Yeah.
They were struggling, and then here along comes Imelda Marcos with Dr. Scholl's, because not only did she have a lot of shoes, she had stinky feet.
Ooh.
I don't know if you knew that.
And flat feet. She needed the insoles.
That's why she broke up with Ferdinand. Her and Ferdinand. It was a foot odor issue between Ferdinand and Imelda. So she's 89 today.
TV theme time.
He was Quincy's right-hand man. I think this guy was kind of the brains behind the whole operation. Robert Edo played Sam. He didn't have to die, Sam.
Right.
Robert Edo is 87, while Quincy was out there getting all the headlines and yelling at police officers and Detective Horowitz or whatever his name was.
Sam
Mancini.
Was grinding away.
Sam was back in the lab, and he was the one finding out all the substances that were under the victim's fingernails.
Right.
He was the one. It wasn't Quincy.
No, it was Sam.
So Robert Edo is 87. How about this lady?
Tell her she can kiss me.
Still don't know what that means.
No.
I mean, I bought some, in fact, my wife bought some grits. We have, they sell grits. They're harder to find up here than they are down south, but they are instant grits, and I had those for breakfast a couple of times last week. Have you ever had grits, Neil Freeman? Your thoughts on grits?
I ordered them one time, I think, when I was in, like, Myrtle Beach or Atlanta.
At a Waffle House, right?
I tried to buy it, and didn't like them.
Ooh, they're really good with cheese, a little bit of salt. But Pauly Holiday, who played Flo, 81 today. One of my favorite Mexican presidents. We have a new Mexican president. You see that in the news?
Yes, yes.
We have a new Mexican president. He's got about 8 names.
Right.
Here's a guy, you only needed 2 names.
This was simpler.
And this guy was cool. Vicente Fox. I mean, how could you be any cooler than Vicente Fox? The Fox says, 76, you know, he put a pair of dark sunglasses on Vicente Fox and he looked like a bad guy from Chips.
Right.
He was a cool character. He is 76 today.
You know, George, as painful as it is, I've had to let a few people go over the years. Yogi Berra, Lou Piniella, Ducky Dent, Billy Martin, Dallas Green.
Larry David. Along with Jerry Seinfeld, created Seinfeld.
Stump Merrill.
And he did Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Billy Martin.
He was the voice of Steinbrenner. Anytime you saw Steinbrenner, you never saw his face either. On Seinfeld's, always from behind. You know why that was?
Because it wasn't him.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. It was part of the character.
Yeah.
It was part of the
Larry
caricature.
David did a nice job with
he
that.
He did. He was very good, and he is 71 today. Brett the Hitman Hart from WWF.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
His finishing move was the sharpshooter, which is basically like a Boston crab. You know what that is,
the Boston crab. Yeah.
You kind of wrap their legs around, then you kind of turn them around on their front from their back, and you didn't want the sharpshooter.
Yeah.
Slapped on you. Brett the Hitman Hart is 61.
High fly ball, right field deep. Canseco back to the track. Look it up. It is off his head, it looked like. And over the top. Oh, my. It looked like it hit Canseco to the top of the head.
He was one of the Bash Brothers, but he was kind of a dummy, too.
Yeah. It did hit him in the head.
Yeah, it didn't. The announcer said it looked like it in his head. You had to watch the replay. Yeah, it did hit him square in the head over the wall at Cleveland Stadium for a home run. Jose Canseco, and if Jose Canseco is 54 today, that means his twin brother Ozzy is also 54 today. Played a little bit in the majors. They were on the same team there for a while.
Yep.
Jose and Ozzy Canseco, 54. Lindsay Lohan, I'm sure she's in some trouble now. She always seems to be in trouble. She's 32. And Johnny Weir, the figure skater, very colorful.
Yes.
He's 36 today. He's now commentating.
Yes, he is.
And it's very colorful. You ever see him on the Olympics? Yep, yep. He wears some out there
snappy dresses.
Things you wouldn't see me wearing.
Nope.
I can guarantee that.
Nope. 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 Gone but not forgotten category today. Just a few to run down. Former U.S. Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. Very much in the news right now. But Thurgood, he did a nice job for a long time. And he was the first black justice to sit on the Supreme Court. Thurgood Marshall, born on this day, 1908. One of the great characters of all time and a fine singer. But we didn't see that very much during Gunsmoke. He was Festus.
She's hotter than a jug full of red, ain't she?
No.
No?
No, I won't buy you a beer.
Well, if that ain't the downrightest ornery thing I've ever... I didn't ask you.
No, I knew you were going to, though. I knew exactly...
I wasn't going to do no such thing. Fact is, I was fixing to offer to buy you a beer. Oh.
So how many times do you think Festus bought Doc a beer?
Well...
Did it ever happen?
And where he actually paid for it?
Right.
I don't know that it ever happened. But he offered a few times. Festus could finagle a free beer... like nobody else. He was Festus Hagen, and he was, part of the Sons of the Pioneers, great singer. Ken Curtis, 19.
Here he is singing.
Many a year has came and went since the Mud Creek incident.
Twisty's coming, too. That's what he called a tornado, right? Twisty.
Yeah, in his own vernacular.
Yeah, in my house, a twisty is one of those things, you got the little paper covered over the little piece of wire.
Yeah.
And you'd close up your bread bag or various other bags that you might have. That's a twisty.
Nobody like Festus Hagen. Ken Curtis, 1916. Civil rights leader Medgar Evers. Evers, born on this day, 1925. Remember Brock Peters?
Sure.
I must protest. To offer Klingons safe haven within Federation space is suicide. Klingons would become the alien trash of the galaxy. And if we dismantle...
Oh.
Alien trash.
Don't want that.
No. Brock Peters was that actor in Star Trek IV. And what was the other one? Six
that
or
was
something?
That was from Star Trek VI, where Praxis explodes and the Klingons are on the verge of extinction, and we need to help the Klingons.
He was born on this day, 1927. He was also in To Kill a Mockingbird and some others. The guy who gave us Wendy's, we were talking off the air. How many times have you gone to Wendy's and ordered a triple?
They're there if you want one.
Yeah, I think I ordered a triple once. I've had many doubles. I order a triple and single almost the exact amount of times, maybe once. I'm kind of a double guy at Wendy's and their spicy chicken. Dave Thomas, no relation to Paul, born on this day, 1932. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Paul Williams, member of the Temptations, 1939, and Tony Award-winning actor Ron Silver. He was also in some TV series like The West Wing, Chicago Hope, Rhoda, born on this day, 1946. All gone, but not forgot.
Late edition here. Just found.
Gonna find me a bluebird. Let him sing me a song.
Marvin Rainwater, Neil.
Oh, the Minnesotan.
But I don't think he was from here, but he moved here.
Oh, that's what it was.
He lived in Aiken. He moved to Aiken. Because he heard their mascot was the Gobbler.
Right.
Gonna chase me around.
And he died in Minnesota just a few years ago. Marvin Rainwater, born on this date, 1925. This was his huge hit, breakthrough hit, national hit. Gonna find me a bluebird.
And he's gone.
He's gone.
But not forgotten.
And Neil and I will be gone, but not forgotten. You're going to be here for a Bob-a-thon. We'll start that up here in just moments. In the meantime, Faith Hill, that's the Almanac brought to you by LaFave Companies for Monday, July 2nd. Bob FM.
They said change your clothes. She said no, I won't. They said comb your hair.